On this final Saturday of the year, it's time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Happy New Year, Jack.
Happy New Year to you, Denny.
And may it be a balmy one.
Yeah, it's, so far it's been pretty balmy.
It really has. A little snow tonight, but I think it's great, at least good weather for those that may be doing a little celebrating.
Well, indeed. And what better topic to have about celebration is the wine of celebration, champagne. It's a celebratory drink. It's used for the launching of ships, for births, wine of celebration, champagne. It's a celebratory drink. It's used for the launching of ships, for births, for weddings, promotions, almost everything celebratory you can connect with champagne. Now, you know, champagne is a very specific wine. It comes from a little area that's east and north of Paris. And it's grown on the very same chalk basis that you get the White Cliffs of Dover. They run that chalk runs down through Chablis and all the way across the English Channel. And that chalk is what gives champagne its distinctive flavor. You can be brand new to wine, and I can guarantee you if I poured three different glasses of wine, or four, and one was a sect from Germany, and one was a cava from Spain, and another was a Prosecco from Italy, and the fourth one was a bottle of champagne, everybody would pick the champagne. It's just that distinctive a drink. And it has a very, very noble history. The cathedral at Rennes is where the first king of France was crowned, Clovis, in before the 10th century, in 900 and something. And every king of France, with the exception of Napoleon Bonaparte, has been crowned in Rennes. And Rennes was very popular for its wine. And at that time, the wine was a red wine from the Pinot Noir grape. But they had what they called devil wine, where wine underwent a secondary fermentation and bubbles were in the bottle. Well, they never figured out how to put those bubbles in, keep those bottles in the bottle, till along came a monk named Dom Perignon, and he worked on the closure. A lot of people credit him with inventing champagne, but champagne was a natural thing. And champagne, real champagne, is always going to be expensive. And good old Dom Perignon figured out how to keep that sparkle in the bottle. In fact, champagne was the first wine in the world to be shipped in bottles in the 1700s. The king at the time claimed that champagne was his favorite drink. And champagne then was much different than it is now. It was more viscous, a little thicker, and very much sweeter, and the bubbles weren't as pronounced. But champagne manufacture has evolved tremendously, and it is expensive because it takes 3 years to produce a bottle of champagne. There are very few wines that take that long to go from vine to market, and champagne takes over 3 years. What happens is you first ferment the wine just like you would any other wine. Then you put the wine, you uncork it, and you add what they call the dosage. And dosage is usually a mixture of sugar and other wines to that to determine the sweetness and dryness of the wine. And bear in mind, Brut is the driest French champagne. If you get a French champagne that's dry, that's slightly sweet. And Cremant is definitely sweet when you're buying champagne. But as I said, champagne really is very distinctive. And like I say, the other sparkling wines from all over the world are wonderful, good, etc. But none of them have the cachet nor the flavor of real champagne. And I don't care whether it's one of the very tony wineries in California that is now making sparkling wine. They make a very good sparkling wine. Don't misunderstand me. I love them, but they don't taste like real French champagne. And real French champagne protects that name. In fact, there was a very interesting thing that happened years ago when Moët & Chandon, which is a big house that's famous for champagne, Domaine Chandon, in California. They opened the vineyard called Domaine Chandon. And they were all wondering what the French were going to do, because the United States is the only country that never signed the Paris Accord of 1911, which gave the French the word champagne exclusively. So that's why champagne from Spain is called cava, and spumante in Italy, and sect in Germany. But we still call a lot of the sparkling wines we make here champagne. But they aren't really. And lo and behold, when Chandon came out, they just labeled it sparkling wine. And that was the determination. Now very many of the French houses have installations in this country to make their sparkling wine. Roeder makes a wonderful sparkling wine in this country. And they're most famous for their Roeder Crystal, which is like Dom Perignon, only it comes in a clear glass bottle. The biggest patron there was the Tsar of Russia, and he was always worried about getting assassinated, so they would ship his wine in Baccarat crystal that you could see through, so you could see that there was no poison put in the wines. But anyway, we're digressing. There's so many good sparkling wines from the Champagne district, and it's a blend usually of three grapes: Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, and Chardonnay, those three. And also in Champagne, most of the wine is non-vintage. And there's a reason for that. The people in Champagne a long time ago wanted you to remember when that you had a bottle of, say, Veuve Clicquot at your wedding 10 years ago, and now you're going to have a bottle at your 10th anniversary. You wanted the wine to taste the same. So they wanted the wine a little like Campbell's soup, that every time you made it, it would taste the same. So vintages vary, as we know, and the temperature and the end result. But by blending with several vintages and producing champagne that's non-vintage, you get that solid Veuve Clicquot that you learn to love, that the wine is not changing so much. They do make vintage champagne, don't misunderstand me, and you can buy that if you like it. But the idea with the champagne was that it's consistent, so that, again, what you have tonight is reminiscent of what you had 5 years ago, and that's what they aim for. And there's been a lot of interesting stuff in the Champagne area. As I said, they were the first ones to ship in bottle. They were the first really wine to become international. And that was due to a pioneer woman called Veuve Clicquot, the Widow Clicquot. She invented the riddling rack, and she was responsible for shipping her wine to England. And once the English got a hold of Champagne and really loved it, they were off to the races, because Champagne became the drink, again, of celebration, etc. And the English were great for toting it as they conquered around the world, building an empire. The Champagne of France accompanied them on that round the world trip. The wines of Champagne, as I said, are very interesting. I love to go and visit there. It's always nice to do, because you can, if you're in Paris and you have a free day, you can take the train up to Epernay and go and visit some of the champagne houses. It's a very worthwhile trip, believe me. A lot of fun. You'll learn a lot about champagne. You walk through those cellars and see all that chalk I talked about from the White Cliff, and that's why the champagne gets its distinct flavor. You can even see some of the roots if they let you walk under the vineyards. They have cellars there. In fact, an interesting story, in World War II, they bottled up all of their champagne quickly, and the mold grows very quickly in those basements in Champagne region, and they hid about 750,000 bottles on the Germans that they never did find until after the war. They broke them out, and there was great celebration with them. George Patton, one time we were there with a wonderful lady, the Comtesse, and she presented us with the fact that she was George Patton's mistress, and we never understood him, what a great man he was and a great general. And he was killed. He was run over. He died later in the hospital, but in, right there in Champagne. And, of course, he was responsible for liberating that whole area of France from the Germans and is highly thought of. But anyhow, champagne is wine, again, of celebration. Some of the quotes that have been attributed to people with champagne are really wonderful, I think. One of my favorite is attributed to Winston Churchill. They asked him, he had every day, which incidentally, they've just allowed since Brexit, where the British opted out of the European common market, they couldn't bring in pints of champagne. Now they can bring them again. And Churchill was responsible for that, because every morning on his breakfast tray, he had a pint of champagne. Anyhow, some wag said to him, "Why do you drink so much champagne, Winston?" He said, "In defeat, I need it. In victory, I deserve it." And so many people have said wonderful things about champagne. Tallulah Bankhead said, "The only thing better than a glass of champagne is a bottle." Some other wag said, "Champagne's like duct tape. It can fix everything." And Madame Bollinger said, "When I'm happy, I must have it. When I'm alone, I must have it. When I'm sad, it cheers me up. With company, it's obligatory. Otherwise, I never touch it unless I'm thirsty." Betty Davis said, "There comes a time in a woman's life when the only thing that helps is a glass of champagne." And it just goes on and on. Coco Chanel said, "I drink it when I'm in love, and I have to have it when I'm not in love." And Mark Twain said this best, "Too much of anything is bad, but too much champagne is just about right." And Oscar Wilde said, "Everything in moderation, especially moderation." So I think you get the idea. Champagne is really worth going out and seeking. It's a wonderful, wonderful drink. And like I say, as much as we try to replicate it all over the world, and there are great sparkling wines all over the world, and frankly, if you're going to make mimosas or cranberry mimosas, which is a mimosa made with cranberry juice, I suggest you use something like Prosecco or inexpensive Cava from Spain, etc. Don't put really good champagne in that mimosa, because, you know, the orange juice cuts it dramatically, and so you're better off to use some of those lesser expensive ones. But champagne is expensive, but not really when you figure how long it takes and all that. At the moment, Nicolas Feuillet, which is a wonderful little champagne house, Feuillet has champagne for under $30 a bottle. And there's some good prices on things like Piper Heidsieck, under $40 a bottle. And after all, New Year's comes only once a year. It's the first day of a book of 365 pages, so you want to begin it well. And there's no better way, in my opinion, to begin it than with a glass of the French champagne, real sparkling wine from the place where it was invented, and the place where it's grown and flourished, and that is champagne from France. You can't go wrong, because so champagne will just reward you. And they make a lot of it. They make about 350 million bottles a year of French champagne. And like I say, why not splurge, indulge yourself, and have a bottle of good French champagne to bring in the new year?
Absolutely, and I know you can find a lot of good things besides the champagne at any Haskell's location.
Indeed, the folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine, beer, spirits, seltzers, but with wine they're particularly good because they can pair that wine with whatever you're having and make sure that your meal is a real success by combining a good bottle of wine, well chosen, with whatever you're having. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Our winter sale is still on through the 14th of January. There's a Haskell's in Bloomington. There's one in Excelsior. Off of 35, there's one in Faribault. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be believed. 22,000 square feet. And we have over 400 sparkling wines at Haskell's, I might add. In downtown Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale. There's one in Plymouth. In St. Paul's Highland Village, you'll find one. There's the Haskell's in Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver directly to your home from Haskell's.
Absolutely. And Jack, let's talk in the brand new year.
I'm going to look forward to that, Denny. And once again, to you and all your listeners, a very happy and healthy new year.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.